All righty, open your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and get verse 1. And this is Christ talking here to his disciples. And in just a few chapters, he's going to be on the cross, dying for all our sins. And that's what's ahead here. That's what the Lord is trying to prepare these men for. It's in just a few chapters for us, but really it's only a few hours away from Christ saying these words. Amen. Till next, he's in the garden, then standing before his accusers and those who condemn him, and then he goes to be crucified. These disciples have been with the Lord for about 3 years, and we can be sure for that amount of time, he was the one doing the preaching. He was the one doing the teaching. They were there to help, but working and serving the people, that was all taken care of by the Lord. They were watching him and listening to him just like the crowd. They were learning from him like everybody else. And it's as if they're along for the ride. They had the fun of being with Christ and seeing what he was doing while they were having to do very little for themselves. If someone had leprosy, they didn't have to worry about it because Christ took care of it. If there are hundreds of people that need to be fed, sure they had to pass the food out, but food came from the Lord. If someone had died like that man's daughter or Lazarus, the one who took care of everything that needed to be taken care of was Jesus Christ. But now, right around the corner of the Lord saying these words that he starts saying in chapter 13 and up to chapter 17, where he's through speaking with him, he's headed to the garden for prayer, and after that he's off to see the governors and then to Calvary. So these men are about to experience a big change in the way things have been going. For even though Jesus would go to the cross and die, and then 3 days later he would be resurrected, but it wouldn't be too long after that before Jesus would ascend back up to heaven where he'd come down from. And with them watching that whole thing, they would see Jesus go back to heaven, and as great as that would have been, and I'm sure they were excited for the Lord, but think about it. Now what are they going to do? Who's going to be preaching now? Who's going to be doing the teaching now? Who's going to take care of the multitudes, and who's going to take care of those who are sick and dying and need of forgiveness? You see, now that's all on them, or so it would seem. And that's why the Lord was saying these things here in John 15, and actually John 13, 14, 15, and 16. Because he was about to be taken from them, and they might have thought that now they were on their own, but they wasn't on their own. They weren't alone. They were going to have to stand up and get more involved, and stand up and preach, and stand up and teach, and work with the people and try to help them. But still the Lord, who would be in heaven, he would be the one behind the scenes. As long as they were with the Lord while he was down here, they could stand behind him, watch him, listen to him, learn from him, just like everybody else. But when he would go to heaven, they'd have to realize that now he was behind them, and he'd be using them. So here's good teaching from the Lord, and thinking about these things that lay ahead of these men, and it's good for us to see these things too, because what lay ahead of these men is the way things are for us right now. Now it says in John 15:1, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. The men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Let's pray. Lord God, Lord, if it was just me up here, I'd goof this whole thing up, and these people would just sit here for about 30 minutes, and they wouldn't get nothing out of it, God. But I pray, Lord, that you would allow me to step out of the way, Lord, and that you would do something with these in the hearts, Lord, and be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let me go ahead and tell you what it is I'm going to try to preach to you tonight, and that is getting plugged in. Now, imagine a man comes into his house after a long day's work, sits down on the couch, and he's going to watch some TV. Well, he grabs the remote, and he pushes the on button, but nothing happens. You see, does he get up and go to the TV and turn it on? No, he don't do that yet. He has to have the remote working. So he gets up, he changes the batteries, goes back, sits down, and pushes the on button again. Still, nothing happens. So he gets up, goes over to the TV, might not even remember how to do it, but he turns on the TV himself. Nothing happens still, though. So the next course of action he'll probably take is yell for his wife and wonder which one of the 6 kids broke the TV. Or he might just blame a Liberian kid or two. But you see, she'll walk right into the room and automatically spot the problem. Walk over to the TV, she'll walk over and plug it in. You see, You can have a 50-inch plasma screen, surround sound TV. I wish we had that, but but if it ain't plugged in, it's not going to do you any good. You see, all things that need power have to be plugged in. And when it comes to the Christian life, guess what? We all need power. We need power from God. And we can't even live the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived if we ain't supplied with the power that we need from the Lord. Now, a lot of times, we've all heard Christians speak about how hard it is to live the Christian life. And when things don't work out the way a Christian thinks they should, a lot of times they'll just go and get a new thing. And, you know, just like a man thinks new batteries to his remote was the answer. Getting something new is not the answer. But a lot of Christians will go from one new thing to another new thing. And every time they do that, that next new thing is the best thing that they've ever ran across. But in time, they need another new thing. Because they realize they still don't have the power they need.
Amen.
And probably all they really need to do is get plugged in.
Amen.
That illustration, I want you to think about it. That illustration with that man. He first blames the button on the remote, and then he blames the battery. And then he blames the remote itself. And then he thinks of the TV that's tore up. Then he blames whoever messed with it or tore it up. You see, he blames this and that, but none of that stuff was the problem. The power was there, he just wasn't connected. The button didn't work, the remote didn't work, the TV didn't work, but it wasn't what he thought. None of that stuff worked because it didn't have the power it needed to work.
Yeah.
You know what some Christians do when they find out they don't have the power they need to live the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived? Well, they start blaming things or blaming people. They say it's their church's fault or their friend's fault. Or they say they ain't getting anything out of their church or their Bible or whenever they pray or whenever they hear preaching. And more times than not, they aren't getting anything out of those things like they're supposed to because they ain't plugged in. We all need to be plugged in. We won't get nothing from church what we need, or we won't get from the scriptures what we need, or from praying what we need, or anything else if we aren't first plugged into the Lord. Now, when I say we need to get plugged in, I'm talking about abiding in the vine. The vine is Jesus, and we're his branches.
Amen.
The Lord says here in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." And the idea I want to try to get across to you tonight is in those last 7 words, where Christ says, "For without me ye can do nothing." Now, nothing here, you know what it means? It means nothing. Christ says, "Without me ye can't do a thing." If you cut off a branch from a vine, what's going to happen to that branch? Well, I can tell you one thing, it ain't going to start bearing blooming leaves and showing life. And it's not going to bear fruit of itself. It can't bear fruit of itself. And it doesn't have life of itself. Without the vine, the branch is dead. It don't have fruit on it, and it never will have fruit on it.
Amen.
The only way that branch is going to bring forth fruit is if it abides in the vine. Now, first, there's the life of the vine. Then there'll be fruit on the branches. You see, we need the life of Christ, the vine, in us, not just in being saved and having everlasting life, but in the abiding way.
Amen.
See, in the everyday sense, not just in the forever after. Yeah, sure, it's good to know that one day we're going to heaven, but what about today, or tomorrow, or this week, or next week, or all the days leading up to eternity? We need his life now, so we need to abide in the vine. We need to abide in Christ. And here's a question for you. What does any of that stuff start with? There are some things that I think we can all do as a result of abiding in the vine. But where do we start? I mean, what about the Christian life? I want you to answer me some things about it. What are some of the things we do as Christians? Anybody, what are anything that we do in our daily walk as a Christian? Go ahead. Read the Bible. That's good. Anybody else? Go to church. We also witness. We pray. These are all some things that we do as regards to the Christian life. But here's the question for you. Where do we start? How do we begin to abide in the vine? Well, it all starts with us making the choice to abide in the vine. We have to make the choice. It apparently isn't something that's just going to happen, because the Lord tells us to abide in him. And by him telling us, there's something he expects from us. This we have to do on our own. Now listen to these verses as I read them to you. It's Colossians 3:1. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." It says you and me have to seek. We have to set our affection in the right direction. And here's another one in James 4:7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." That's talking about someone getting committed, someone getting their heart right. And here's another one in Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. Those verses speak of somebody making up their mind. They get that thing straight in their own heart.
Yeah.
And this is something they're going to pursue after. We all need to get plugged in, and we all need to choose to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is where it starts. For without him, we can't do a thing. Now, I hope you're listening to this and not just listening to me. Because I'm not anything. I know that.
Right.
I'm not trying to act like I know all this because this is what I do. Truth is, I'm just learning this, and I'm trying to get a handle on it myself. Because living the Christian life isn't just going to church. And it's not just praying. It ain't just witnessing to people, and it isn't just reading the Bible. I know that because I've been someone who's tried to do all those things and still find out that there's still something missing. These other preachers will tell you, you can get all caught up in doing all these things, but still the heart has to be right.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I read my Bible every day, or at least I try to. But that all by itself doesn't mean I'm abiding in the vine. I know that much because there have been times I've read my Bible, and because of me, not the Lord, and not because of that book, because of me, I didn't get a thing out of it. And that's happening going to church and even praying. You see, first, I have to make the choice to seek the Lord or to abide in the vine. I have to make the choice to draw nigh to God, and then when I read my Bible, I'll get something out of it. Then whenever I go to church, I'll get something. But first, I have to make that move towards abiding in the Lord. What I'm saying is, we can't live the Christian life without the vine. And that sounds obvious when you think of it, because how can you live the Christian life without Christ? You know what I think? I think that's the problem a lot of young people that have been raised in church are having. They're failing to see that they aren't getting anything out of the preaching or the teaching or whenever they read their Bible. Well, it isn't the batteries, if you know what I mean. It isn't the church, and it's not preaching. And it's certainly not the Bible or prayer. It's in their own hearts. They haven't yet decided that they'll abide in the vine. So plain and simple, there they are, and they're not plugged in. Now think about praying and Bible reading, witnessing, attending church, and fighting against the devil. These are all some things that we do as a part of living the Christian life, and it's certainly involved in abiding in the vine. But first, we have to make the choice, for none of these things can be done without Christ, and I want to prove that to you by the Bible. Now go to the Gospel of John and get chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now first of all, what about prayer? Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, does that include praying? Of course it does. Without him, we can't even pray. You know why? Because we have to pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Look at what it says, John 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now look over to chapter 16. Get chapter 16 and verse 23. And it says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. You see, we have to pray in Jesus' name, because without him we can't even pray. Now get Romans chapter 8. Turn over to the book of Romans chapter 8, and when you get there, get verse 26. Now talking about here how we can't even pray without the Lord, we know all this because of what Romans 26 says. It says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Through Christ we have the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Well, why? Well, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. God gave us the Holy Spirit because we don't know how to pray.
Amen.
Now look on down at verse 31. Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7 says that the Lord Jesus himself maketh intercession for us. That is, not only does the Holy Spirit make intercession for us down here and help us down here, but up there in heaven, Jesus Christ is making intercession for us. Now, look at what the passage says. I'll just read it to you. It says, Hebrews 7:24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore is he also able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, second of all, what about reading the Bible? Get two places. Get Luke chapter 24 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Luke 24 and 1 Corinthians 2. And the truth is, we can all read the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God. But our hearts has to be right in reading the Bible. Because without Christ, we can't even read the Bible and get anything out of it. Here at Luke 24, this is the Lord speaking with those disciples. And he's talking to them about the Scriptures. And they don't understand what he's saying until verse 45. Luke 24, 45. It says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." You see, it was whenever he opened up their understanding that they were able to understand the Bible. Look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and when you get there, get verse 13. And it says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Now get 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And just like we can't pray apart from choosing to abide in Christ, and we can't get anything out of the Bible without choosing to draw nigh to God and setting our affection towards the right things, next, without him there is no soul winning. My heart has to be right with the Lord before I can witness to someone who needs to be saved. Because there are some things I need the Lord to do that I simply can't do. Now, I admit I have trouble telling people about the Lord. My dad told me that Brother Gary is going to start teaching soul winning classes for the church, and I'm excited about that because I want to know more and I need to know more. But I know this, and having led a few souls to the Lord, that it's the Lord that does it, not me. Without him, I can't even get lost people to see what I'm trying to say. Now look at 2 Corinthians 4:1, and it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, what happened when we heard according to those verses? We heard about Jesus just like we want to tell others about him. We heard about him, and God shined in our hearts to give us the light that we need to see. And it can't be done without God. Now, what about church? Well, we all know you can go to church without God, but you won't get anything out of it. And that's the point behind all that I'm trying to say. Get Hebrews chapter 10 and then Acts chapter 1. Hebrews 10 and Acts chapter 1. And let me show you something that I've seen in the Bible. It isn't a big thing, but it is pretty neat when you think about it. First off, here's a verse in Hebrews 10 that speaks about the need to go to church. Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now that's what we do when we go to church. We assemble ourselves together. Now look over at Acts chapter 1. Look at Acts chapter 1 and get verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me." Now listen while I read what the Lord said about this when we go to church with each other. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Then lastly I'll say, without him there is no victory in warfare. Now we all know this, and it's perhaps the most obvious. Because without the Lord, we for sure can't stand up against the devil and against all sin and all wrong without the Lord. It says in Ephesians 6, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Over there, as the Bible spoke of one of David's soldiers who stood and fought with a sword, it says that the Lord wrought a great victory that day. It was the Lord that wrought the victory. And let me get you to turn to one final place and I'll be through. That is Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, 11. And Paul says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now I can't do a thing without Christ, but I can do all things through Him. I can pray, read my Bible, go to church, witness to people, all that and accomplish nothing. Because my heart isn't right, even though I'm doing the right things. But through Christ, I can speak with God, and you know what? He'll listen.
Amen.
Through Christ, I can read the Scriptures, and God Himself will speak to me.
Amen.
Through Christ, I can witness to the lost, and behind the scenes, God will honor the gospel and do something in the heart that I can't do.
Amen.
Through Christ, I can meet with God's people and enjoy His presence among us. Through Christ, I can stand and fight against the devil and have victory. Now, we all need to get plugged in, and to do that, we have to make the choice. We have to decide to draw nigh to God, to abide in the vine. We have to set our own affections towards the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I sure hope I wasn't in the way of these people getting anything, God. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless the message. In Jesus' name.
All right, let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're sitting there and you're in a state of prayer. I want you to think about what he said tonight and the points that he was making. He starts off with John 15 about abiding in the vine. He talks about Christians' daily walk with the Lord, getting the power and the strength that we need from the source that we need to get it from. And he speaks about those things that we equate the Christian life with. And he asked you, what are some things, what are some ways we live the Christian life? And he mentioned prayer, and he mentioned the Bible, and he mentioned going to church, and a couple of other things that we would connect with a Christian life. But then he was able to show you from the Bible how those things without the Lord are unprofitable. And anybody that's been saved for any length of time knows that. There's been times where I've sat down with the Bible and spent a great amount of time in it, to walk away unprofitable, not having profited from it at all, because my mind was somewhere else and my heart wasn't in it. Young people, listen now. There's been times I went to church. Some of you have been raised in church. You ought to be thankful for that. But there's a great temptation of thinking just going to church, that's all it takes. But you can go to church and not meet with God. You can take time to pray and not really speak with God. You can try to tell someone about Jesus and it be ineffectual. You get nowhere with them because the Lord's not working behind the scenes because your heart's not right. And as far as overcoming temptation and dealing with the enemy there, as he mentioned, it said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, you got to have your heart right. And as he said tonight, that starts with you making up your mind. You got to set your heart right. Your heart has to be in it. You got to set your mind right. You got to make up your mind. And when you get in that Bible, you're going to hear from God. You're abiding in the vine. When you start to witness, you're trusting God to do something. When you pray, you're going to speak with God. When you go to church, you're going to meet with God. Those things are important. You got to have your mind right. You got to abide in the vine. Because Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Now, that's obvious for every Christian in here. But let me say this before I have Miss Robin play. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then without Him, you're not saved. The Bible says without Christ, you're without hope. You're without God. You're not going to heaven when you die. You need Him. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no getting saved without Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him. He is the Savior. Father, I pray you will bless the word that's been preached tonight and you'll bear witness with it during this time of invitation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. With your heads bowed, Miss Robin, if you'll play. Now you're a Christian.